Well, I'm sure everyone by this time is aware that tomorrow is the wedding day. Very exciting time, and I know they're probably excited but also a little nervous because that all goes with it. A matter of fact, 50 years ago, this last April, my wife and I went through the same experience as we celebrated our 50th anniversary this last April. We wonder where the years went. They sure go by in a hurry. I'd like to have you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes to start with. I'm going to read a few words of Solomon here, and obviously everything doesn't apply to marriage, but there are a few things that I think we can apply there, and this scripture I point out does not necessarily mean that it's totally for those involved, but I think it's very interesting to look at some of these verses. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 4. It starts right out by saying there's a time to weep, and you might think, well, boy, that's kind of an unusual verse to use and an unusual statement. But you know, there's quite an adjustment to a marriage. And some's going to weep for joy, happiness, be really excited. And some might weep for a little sadness because they're no longer, you know, of their own immediate family. They now are going to be a family of their own. And I know some of the in-laws, and particularly maybe the mothers, will feel a little sad to experience this because that goes along with that time in life. And then it says, and there's a time to laugh. And of course, there's going to be happiness tomorrow, and there's going to be a lot of joy, and the handshakes will go, and the hugs will go, and there'll be laughter, and everybody will enjoy that. Now, it says there's time to mourn, and maybe we could just apply that to, well, in essence, kind of losing a son or a daughter. And, you know, I don't mean that negatively, but it's adjustment. It's a time of adjustment. And then it's a time to dance, and certainly happiness, and you know, just have a good time, and we're going to enjoy that time and as well as their families. Now let's drop down to, or actually read verse 5. It says the first part I'm not going to say much about, time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. But there's a time to embrace, and that's what I want to emphasize here. A time to embrace, and going to have that in mind for the next, how many years, their lifetime. Embrace, and they need to support each other and be right there for each other, embracing each other. And yes, there may be a time to frame embracing. Maybe you need to fast for a period of time, or just using that as an example. And so there are adjustments all along as far as looking at a marriage and union in that way. Now let's look at verse 8. A time to love. And boy, that is so important. Now there says a time to hate and a time to war. You might hate falsehood. You might hate some of the things that are going on in this society. And you know, that's easy to do. But there's also a time for peace. And again, in a marriage, you have to work on that element. You need to really strive. It's not going to just fall in your lap. You have to put in some work to have a peaceful, happy, enjoyable marriage. Like I said, all those things don't actually apply to marriage, but some of them I think we can make fit in there with Solomon's wisdom. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. Just read a few verses there, just covering this subject of marriage a little bit. I thought it was fitting to give the sermonette along these lines as well. I'm sure Mr. Bowles will speak on that subject as well. But 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that is so important for us men to remember. And be sure that we live with that in mind and treat our women with that in mind, our wives. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now drop down to verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And then in verse 8 it says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now God had this written in Scripture. You know, it's not my idea. It's not, you know, something that I come up with. And so both have a big responsibility. But I think the woman's is going to be a little bit of a bigger adjustment than the man's, because now she has to fit in with his overall plans and purpose in life. Not that she can't give input, and not that she shouldn't. You know, that's very necessary. But ultimately, he is responsible for decisions made, and she has to live by that. So I think the adjustment is a little harder for the woman. Now let's go to Ephesians 5:22. Just read a couple of verses there. Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now that is a big verse there for you ladies. And it's a big adjustment again. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, boy, that hits us men pretty hard. You know, we have to treat our wives, you know, the ladies, just as Christ treated the church. And what did he do? He gave, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, that is very important to remember. But then the husband also needs to know that he has to have tremendous wisdom and not making decisions that makes it difficult for the wife. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Boy, there's a key verse. You love them as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He laid down his life for all of us. And so you have a big responsibility. It's not, you know, something to take lightly. And you need to really apply this. Now let's look at Colossians 3 in verse 18. Colossians 3 and verse 18. It says, wives, submit unto your own husbands. You know, your own. You don't have to worry about somebody else's husband. But you do need to submit to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. But then what does the next verse say? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So it's so important and it involves so much. And when we do all these things, the union will work perfectly. We'll be happy and just be joyful. And life is just fun, I mean, in the marital sense. And it's something you really look forward. Now I'd like to look at Titus, just a couple of verses there. Excuse me for using a couple more verses probably than I should have, but I think they're so important when you're talking about this subject. Titus 2, and we're just going to kind of skip through a number of verses here. It starts right out, but speak you things which become sound doctrine. So this is God's way, God's principle, God's plan, how men and women should operate, you know, in this marital state. The aged men should be sober, you know, that is something that's instructed for all of us gentlemen, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, you know, not getting on the gossip line and saying things that really shouldn't be said, not given to too much wine, but they need to be teachers of good things. And here are some of the good things that they should teach. That they may teach the young women to be sober, that is responsible, to love their husbands. You older women, that is a big responsibility that you have. Never allow anything negative to be said about your child's mate. I mean, that's got to always be positive. And that's a big lesson for us to learn. That is something that should any elderly lady should not tolerate when somebody says something negative about, you know, their children's husband or you know, in any circumstances like that. But they're also to teach the women in verse 5 to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then also the young men, you know, they need to be exhorted to be sober-minded. So the man is also instructed to really fulfill his role in the marital union. And it's something we all have to work at. It's a lifetime of work. It's not going to happen at the end of the day tomorrow. You're not going to have accomplished it. Surprise, surprise. No, it's going to be something that you're going to have to work at the rest of your life. And you need to realize that. And there's going to be ups and downs and bumps in the road and all those kinds of things. But with God's wisdom and knowledge and our dedication, we can overcome all those issues. Now, I've already almost taken all my time up, so I'm just going to have you turn back to Book of Solomon. I won't even turn there, but chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, enjoy the kisses, let him kiss you. You know, his love is better than wine is basically what it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. In chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, my beloved is mine and I am his. So important. A couple of verses that are so important. Now, you might want to read this entire book of the Book of Song of Solomon, but particularly read chapters 4, chapter 5, and chapter 7. And for the first few days into your marriage, I would recommend that you read those over and over and over to really get that implanted in your mind, how you need to function and work together as a team. Your love can certainly grow, you know, far beyond what it is today if you apply these things. You know, God loves you and he's with you and he certainly wants to see you succeed, as we all do.